WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. Diane Newman is among a small group of women cartoonists who come out of the underground cartoon movement of the 70s. She started drawing comics in 1972 for Women's Comics. That's Women's spelled W-I-M-M-E-N apostrophe S. Her work has appeared in such publications as Choices, Titters, Young Lust, Weirdo, and True Glitz. Newman is the editor of a new anthology of the work of women cartoonists called Twisted Sisters, a collection of bad girl art. When Newman assembled the book, she looked for cartoons that clearly reflected a female perspective. When Terry Gross spoke with Diane Newman, she first asked her what the title of the book meant.
Partly it means that the book is not politically correct. When I first started drawing comics, I was involved with a comics collective called the Women's Comics Collective, and it was the early 70s, and they were fairly rigidly feminist. And so bad girl art reflects that, as well as sort of an in-your-face attitude toward what is expected of women in society, kind of saying, well, we're not going to do that.
What were your reasons for joining a women's comic collective, and what was the idea behind it?
Well, I was just very fortunate. I had just started drawing comics. I didn't know anything about it. I met someone, Aileen Kaminsky, who was involved in this collection, and she told me to come to the first meeting, and so that I didn't have any particular interest in specifically being a woman cartoonist. It just sort of fell into it. There were some women who were having trouble getting printed and felt that the underground comic scene was kind of an all-boys club, and so this was their reaction to that. This is like the all-girls club.
Did you feel that way about it, and did you feel that any of the comics in the underground comics were sexist?
I didn't feel that way as strongly as some of the women who started this. I have a lot of my influences have been men cartoonists who I like and respect, and I like and respect a lot of the work they did. Some of it was male sex fantasies. I don't know if I want to label that specifically sexist. Some of them were sexist, you know, in the official line, but people are entitled to their fantasies. And underground comics were there was a lot of freedom and personal expression going on at that time. And there was a feeling of, you know, Zap was definitely an all-boys club, but a lot of men couldn't get into it either. It was a very specific group of people that started a comic book, and they kept doing it, and they've been doing it for 20 years.
Can you describe for me what your comics were like then in the 70s?
Well, my comics evolved pretty quickly to center around a character I created called Dee Dee Glitz, who is a Brooklyn housewife with a blonde bubble wig, and she's a single mother, and she likes Mai Tais and Miami and mini skirts and leopard skin, and she has a reaction definitely to my teenage adolescent alienation when I was growing up in Canarsie, so Brooklyn.
Now, you not only draw comic strips with your character, Dee Dee Glitz, but you also do some autobiographical ones that are really very much about you. And I'd like to have you read one of those now.
Okay. That is actually, it's harder for me. My first time that I did a direct autobiographical strip, it was scary. It was like the first time I actually tried to do something sexual in a comic and do that. It's kind of frightening. And then it's fun once you break that barrier.
What was frightening about it being autobiographical?
Because it feels safe to hide behind a character. You can say whatever you want. You can make the character do whatever you want. But you can keep the illusion that people don't really know if it's you or not. So this story is called Coming of Age in Canarsie, a Sociological Study of Primitive Youth in Western Civilization. When we moved from Long Island to Brooklyn in 1960, I had just turned 13, a very young 13. And I'm trying on my first bra and saying, it hurts to run, I hate them, they jiggle. And my girlfriend saying, she's so lucky. Overnight, I was thrust into the junior high school world of makeup, makeout parties, and B-O-Y-S. And we're dancing to In the Still of the Night. I grew up fast. Dear Diary, these bits of Sheila Shapiro's shag carpet are souvenirs from my very first spin the bottle game. I got kissed 18 times. I'll treasure them, but not quite fast enough. If you don't kiss me, I'll tell everyone you draw naked girls. This is a guy threatening me and holding a drawing I did. And I'm saying, I just didn't put on her bikini yet. She's not really naked. And I'm wearing a panty girdle under Bermuda shorts.
You got to mention here that the drawing that this guy's holding that you did is of a voluptuous naked woman in high heels.
Right. I guess I left that out.
Yeah.
This is based on a real event. This really happened. This guy tried to blackmail me into kissing him because I did used to sit in my backyard and just draw. And I think probably it was really true that I hadn't put her bikini on yet because I wasn't quite ready to draw naked girls. I learned to pretend I didn't study, to roll up my skirts, wear white lipstick, hang out in bowling alleys, and shoplift. And then there's a principal telling me, "Congratulations, Miss Rosenblatt, you placed in the highest percentile in the PSATs. Oh. And then I go back to the classroom and my friend says, "Psst, what did the principal want?" And I said, "I'm in big trouble," which is really true because if you were known as a brain, forget it. And I acquired on my first date with a college man that much coveted red badge of honor, the hickey. And then my mother is saying, "One moment, young lady, just what are you doing with those big red blotches all over your neck?" And I'm wearing the lowest cut possible blouse. And I'm saying, "Oh, mother, it's merely a rash."
There's a lot of hickeys that show up in your cartoons. This must have been a big thing when you were a teenager, hickeys.
Well, it really was. It was kind of like, well, it's proof that you had made out with someone and that you weren't a kid anymore. But for me, I had to grow up in about a week and a half. I moved from Long Island to Canarsie, and Brooklyn had just completely different mores, and I was 13, and I had gone from just climbing apple trees and being a kid to having to go to parties and function. It was sink or swim.
So what are the things you had to learn how to do quickly? And how did you change how you dressed in order to fit in?
Well, I teased my hair. I wore white lipstick. I put on... I just matched whatever everybody else was doing. You know, you desperately want to fit in at that age. You just wear what they're wearing. And I was lucky, I guess. I learned how to do that. My sister had a harder time. She had a harder time fitting in.
We'll be back with more of Terry's interview with cartoonist Diane Newman after this short break. This is Fresh Air. Cartoonist Diane Newman is Terry's guest today. She's the editor of a new collection of women's cartoons called Bad Girl Art. She and Terry have been talking about some of Newman's own work.
I want to ask you to read another autobiographical comic. And this is one that you did just about a year ago. And it's about getting an abortion.
Yeah, well, this was for a comic that was a pro-choice benefit book called Choices. And it was actually difficult for me to do because I have no mixed feelings about being pro-choice, but I have mixed feelings about abortion at this time personally for myself because I'll read the story. It's called The C Word, and it starts in the waiting room at the Margaret Sanger Clinic, and I'm with my sister, and she's saying, "Thanks for coming, sis. I'm kind of nervous about getting this IUD." And I'm saying, you know, as long as I'm here, maybe I should get a pregnancy test. I'm really nauseous, and I haven't had my period for 2 months. The first year they made abortion legal in New York, I got pregnant. And then I was 22 and stuck in a loveless marriage, and my husband is saying, "Can't you do anything right? I told you these onions are supposed to be in uniform 1/16-inch slices." And I'm going, "Sorry," and crying as I'm slicing onions. So I was 22, stuck in a loveless marriage, and not sure who the father was. And I'm having an affair with a guy, and I'm saying, "I was very upset in group tonight, Nick." "Yeah, me too. I can't believe Dr. Walbaum's deserting us just because her husband's transferred to D.C. And the guy was a true wasp prince prone to leather pants. That was in my group therapy group. The next panel, I did what I had to do. It was easy. And I'm lying on a table with my legs in stirrups, and the nurse is saying, "You did really well. We want you to rest here for a bit. Do you have a ride home?" Years later, my marriage over, I found myself in front of a painting at the Modern, and I'm standing in front of a painting by Chelichu called Hide and Seek at the Museum of Modern Art, and the painting is, it's like a tree of life, and there are all these hidden babies and fetuses and heads all around a tree, and when I stood in front of that painting, all of a sudden I felt all the pain of the abortion that I had suppressed. So that was a very powerful experience for me. The pain and sense of loss I had long suppressed out of necessity flowed over me. And I went back to my room and I wrote a poem about it. And in the panel, I'm thinking the poem, which says, "Hurting tears my throat, clogging my nose, cleaning house, vacuumed a life away." Now, 20 years later, a happy marriage and 4 miscarriages later, I'm faced with infertility, and I'm saying Clomid, Pergonal, HCG shots, basal temperature charts, progesterone, private adoption, foreign adoption, surrogacy, in vitro, oy. Looking back, I'm grateful to that 22-year-old for her strength, and there are pro-choice demonstrators saying no more wire hangers and keep abortion legal, mobilize for women's lives. And then I'm at my drawing table drawing Dee Dee Glitz, and I say I owe my life to her choice. And then the definition of choice. 1, act of choosing, selection. 2, the right or power of choosing, option. 3, an alternative, synonym, choice, alternative, option, preference. All suggest the power of choosing between 2 things. Choice implies the opportunity to choose. That was a difficult strip for me.
Was it difficult because it was so personal, or because it got you to think about things you hadn't thought about in a long time?
Well, a combination. It was very personal, and it's painful to contemplate those subjects. It's certainly painful to think about having had an abortion when you're having problems with infertility. So that, yeah, it was painful. But I felt that the only way I could do a strip about pro-choice was to be honest and to do something about my own feelings about it, because that's what it's about. It's about each person's personal, hard, very difficult decision. And no one ever says that's easy.
Your last name, Newman, is spelled N-O-O-M-I-N. Is that instead of N-E-W-M-A-N?
Yeah.
Did you change it?
It's one of these things that happen to women who have more than one marriage, and you change your name the first time, and then you don't know what to call yourself if you get divorced. And I got divorced from my first husband, whose name was N-E-W-M-A-N. But I was used to calling myself Newman. I'd been calling myself that for a while. I didn't want to go back to Rosenblatt, which was my maiden name. And so I decided to spell it differently. In 1973, it was sort of spell it in a cartoony way. And I got stuck with it which I don't know if I would have made the same choice today, because people think it's Noonan, or, you know, they read it wrong or whatever, but I'm stuck with it now. Once you've been published and you've used it, that's your name.
Right. Now, let me ask you about a quote on the back of Twisted Sisters, and it's a quote from Madonna, who says, "Finally a book that makes me look wholesome." What's the story behind the quote?
Well, you know, I sent her a dummy of the book, hoping, you know, like just as a shot in the dark, that maybe Madonna, as the ultimate bad girl, would relate to the work and send us a quote. And we didn't hear anything for a really long time. And then just before the book is going to press, I get a phone call from her publicist, who says, "Quick, send Madonna a copy. She's sitting bored in a trailer somewhere in Indiana shooting a baseball movie, and I think she'd like the book." So we sort of held the back cover presses and sent it off to her, and we got that quote back, which was... it was really satisfying. Great quote. A lot of people think we made it up because it's the perfect quote. But it was also satisfying because I had asked Sandra Bernhardt to give us a quote or to write an introduction. And she was very nice, but she said she was too busy and even bad girls had to work. So it was really nice to get a quote from Madonna.
Well, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Oh, thank you.
Cartoonist Diane Newman is the editor of a new anthology of women's cartoons called Twisted Sisters, a collection of bad girl art published by Penguin. This is Fresh Air.